In March 2011, one of the most powerful earthquakes on record and the tsunami it caused shut down cooling systems at Japan's Fukushima nuclear power plant. A triple meltdown resulted, and Japan is still feeling the effects. Many have charged the plant's owner, the Tokyo Electric Power Company, or TEPCO, with gross mismanagement and dishonesty, and now 110 American sailors and Marines are suing it. Suzanne Goldenberg examines the case in Britain's Guardian newspaper, and it has also been published in Mother Jones articles. Well, the one at the Guardian is called U.S. Sent Thousands of Sailors to Help at Fukushima. Did Radiation Make Them Sick? I'm very pleased that Ms. Goldenberg could join us today. Hello.
Hi.
There are two nuclear power plants, Fukushima Daiichi and Fukushima Daini, a few miles apart on the eastern coast of Japan. How many reactors, all told?
There was a triple meltdown at the plant, and then four by the end of it that were leaking radiation. It emerged, and that caused a sort of biggest nuclear disaster since Chernobyl.
There were more than one. There was more than one reactor at each of these plants.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Well, no. I think all together between the two plants, there's six reactors, mm-hmm. of which four essentially were leaking
and
went into meltdown.
What is the state of the Fukushima power plants now?
Well, that is an ongoing story. There has been a sort of ongoing effort to safely decommission. The Fukushima plants, and that has not been going so well. It's been, there's inspections going on. It's by the international regulator, but it is very difficult to safely shut down a nuclear plant. And in this case, what has happened is that there's been a buildup of radioactive water around the plant, and these efforts to contain that water through ice wall and various other means to try and make sure that that water isn't going into the groundwater and contaminating water supply, perhaps, or that to make sure that, that more of that water doesn't go out into the Pacific.
After the disaster, we saw footage of landscapes that seemed to contain nothing but miles and miles of debris. And the Japanese novelist Kenzaburo Oi has said that Fukushima is the greatest man-made disaster since Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Is that view widespread in Japan?
I was in Japan at the time of the disaster, and it has to be remembered there were two big, distinct tragedies that were visited on the country then. One was the tsunami, which was across a vast landscape of northern Japan and destroyed entire villages, entire communities. They were just wiped off the map. Then you had at the same time, the meltdowns at the reactors, the triple meltdowns in Fukushima. And that is a disaster that didn't become known so quickly, in part because TEPCO, the Japanese company, electricity company, did not make it clear early on the extent of damage to the reactor. So that was really much more of a slow-moving disaster. And both of those have really shaken Japan, but in very, very different ways. But yes, I would agree that, for that country, it was the most traumatic event, I'm sure, since the Second World War.
Aren't details still emerging about the disaster and how TEPCO handled it?
Absolutely.
What is the most recent news?
I mean, there's all kinds of news. It depends on how you look for it. For example, as recently as last month, there was a judicial panel that concluded that three top executives from the company really should face criminal charges for their failure to prevent an accident. So we are still learning that the company should have taken a lot of steps to prevent this from ever happening. It wasn't this disaster was foreseen. This disaster was easily prevented. That we have come to know that subsequently. Had the company and the Japanese government regulator taken steps to make sure that there was an independent backup power supply to the plant, then the reactors would have been able to keep on functioning. The cooling systems would have kept them cool. They would have kept on operating, and there never would have been a meltdown. So there were a number of shortcuts that were taken early on that meant that the plant was vulnerable to a tsunami and to an earthquake. And Japan is prone to both. So this disaster could have been prevented, and we are learning more and more about that. So TEPCO's problems, in a way, are just beginning. It's got legal and financial problems stemming from this disaster that are continuing to unfold.
Do we know now how much radiation was released, and is there a risk of further radiation leakage?
There is, well, there's still radioactive water that is not contained, but from what we know now, and it seems that scientific knowledge of these kinds of things is limited to a certain extent, but from what we know now, it's very hard to establish how much danger there has been to public health from the radiation leak that did take place. And by that I mean, you know, it's too soon still to know how much sickness in terms of cancers was caused or will be caused by those radiation leaks. You know, so for example, in the area around Japan, there have been studies that have come out recently showing rates of thyroid cancer among young children who are the most vulnerable. And there's about 104 cases of children with thyroid cancer that were detected in the area around Fukushima. However, you know, the scientists say, well, we don't know if these same rates would have been prevalent in another area because we don't screen that widely for thyroid cancer. So there's limitations there on our science and our knowledge of the science to knowing how much damage was actually caused by the radiation leak. The other big concern, and especially here in the West Coast, is how much of that radiation went into the sea? How much of that radiation traveled across the Pacific and is reaching American shores? How much of that radiation went into marine life, such as tuna and other big fish that are eaten and consumed, you know, around the world? And again, there are, so far, there is not a great deal of evidence that there was dangerous levels of radiation there. They aren't picking it up in the wreckage. They have discovered trace amounts of radiation in the tuna, but the scientific consensus so far seems to be that there's no public health danger.
And that's because it was going into the Pacific Ocean? Because with Chernobyl, there was serious damage wherever the radiation cloud was carried by the winds.
Yes, I think here here it's a different situation, but the Pacific Ocean is vast. And again, the other point I would stress is that we just don't know yet, you know, but so far scientists seem to be keep coming back and saying, you know, we don't, and the authorities keep coming back and saying, we don't think that there is any danger.
My guest is Suzanne Goldenberg. Her article in The Guardian is actually U.S. Sailors Prepare for Fresh Legal Challenge over Fukushima Radiation. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. And why are the American Navy sailors and Marines suing TEPCO? What harm do they claim that they've suffered?
Well, this is a really interesting case. When the the U.S. military, the U.S. Navy has tens of thousands of troops in Japan under longstanding arrangements. But when the tsunami hit, the U.S. Navy dispatched an aircraft carrier group, the USS Reagan, and associated vessels, other vessels, to Japan to help with the relief effort after the tsunami. And these sailors did, and Marines and sailors did amazing work sort of getting relief supplies into these stricken communities. What happened, however, is that on March 12th, which is a day after the disaster, one of these aircraft carriers, the USS Reagan, sailed directly into a nuclear plume. The alarms went off about the aboard the ship, and sailors were ordered below decks. So they were exposed to very high levels of radiation. And this lawsuit, which is brought on behalf of those sailors, alleges that they suffered a range of health impacts as a result of that radiation exposure. And those health impacts range from leukemia and other cancers to birth defects and some unexplained illnesses.
How much are they suing for?
They're suing collectively for $1 billion. Now, they are suing TEPCO, the Japanese company. They are not suing the Navy, and I think that's a really important distinction. And that case is just beginning to get off the ground. These lawsuits typically take years and years, and this one is just getting going. They have, as of yesterday, sought to sort of broaden that lawsuit out. So first they took the lawsuit against TEPCO, the Japanese electricity company, which ran the nuclear plant. And they said that TEPCO was at fault for the sailors being exposed to radiation because it had covered up initially the extent of the radiation leak and because it had failed to take proper measures to prevent any kind of disaster at the plant. Now, yesterday they were back in court in San Diego, and they are seeking permission to broaden out this suit and to also sue other companies, including General Electric, Toshiba, and Hibachi, and Nabisco. Now, the reason they're trying to go after these companies is that these are companies that make that made the nuclear reactor. And the new argument that they're bringing to bear here is that the reactors themselves were had design and construction flaws. So they're trying now to get permission from the judge to go after General Electric and other companies.
Well, but why are they suing in the United States rather than Japan? How can they use an American court to sue a Japanese company over events that took place in Japan?
Good question, and this has been something that TEPCO has argued that the courts here shouldn't apply, but the lawsuit claims that TEPCO does have a commercial presence in this country. It has offices right a few blocks from where I'm sitting in Washington D.C., and it has a presence in California. And all of the sailors, of course, many of the sailors that were on the Reagan were based, and if they're in the military, are still based at San Diego.
My guest is Suzanne Goldenberg. Her article in The Guardian was I lost the title, but the article in Mother Jones, it's also being published in Mother Jones with a different title.
It's the article, I work for The Guardian, and we have a collaboration that enables articles originated by The Guardian to appear in Mother Jones. But, The Guardian is a big website. I think we're passing the New York Times now online, so we share our content quite widely.
The article, the title of the article in Mother Jones is U.S. sent thousands of sailors to help at Fukushima. Did radiation make them sick? We'll take a little break and we'll find out what Suzanne Goldenberg thinks. Did the radiation make them sick? Stay with us for more. And we are back with Suzanne Goldenberg. Her article in The Guardian, the British Guardian, is U.S. Sailors Prepare for Fresh Legal Challenge Over Fukushima Radiation. Now, these are hard cases to make, aren't they? It's really hard to prove that radiation is the cause for an illness. How many sailors are claiming to have been affected?
Well, it's interesting. When you talk to the attorneys, they say they have 110 sailors lined up, but I've just looked at their amended complaint, and there's 83, I think, names there. So I think it's a moving target. But
and how many people were on the ship?
Well, there were about 5,000 on the ship, and there were 77,000 U.S. sailors, if you count sailors on the bases, who took part in this humanitarian mission. So there's just a tiny fraction of the people of the U.S. military personnel who were in Japan at the time who have joined this suit.
We're talking about around 2%. How does that 2% compare with the probability of an average American contracting cancer?
Well, that's an interesting case. You know, the U.S. Navy did a study of the sailors who were on the USS Reagan, which, as I said earlier, was a sort of aircraft carrier heading this relief effort, the aircraft carrier that was engulfed by a nuclear plume. And they compared the sailors who were on the ship at that time with another control group of sailors to look at rates of leukemia and other cancers, birth defects, infertility, and other issues. And they actually found the rates of cancer were lower among the sailors who were on the Reagan, and they and of all the other illnesses were lower. There were a couple of cases where there were increases, I think, in infertility and in male infertility. There may have been increases, but they said these were not statistically significant. I then went and showed the findings, which the Navy released very quietly. this study was undertaken at the behest of Congress. I showed shared these findings with two leading experts on radiation exposure, and they basically agreed with the Navy's findings that there was no evidence so far of illness due to radiation exposure.
Didn't the Japanese send in their own workers, nicknamed Nuclear Samurai? Are any of them suing TEPCO?
Yeah, there are some lawsuits. You know, there's a number of lawsuits coming forward in the courts. In fact, there was a judgment against TEPCO, I think, today or the other day. Not by workers. Not by local residents this time, but this award, there was a family that it was awarded about $470,000 because of a woman who was in the zone that was evacuated from Fukushima in the aftermath of the disaster. She was moved out because of the disaster. And when she was allowed back briefly a few months later, she killed herself. So her family has received compensation this week because of that suicide.
What has been the Japanese reaction to this suit? American military personnel have provoked controversy in Japan, especially with sexual assaults on Japanese women in Okinawa. Is there any backlash to Americans alleging that the Japanese did something wrong here, especially in the light of the fact that the Americans are claiming they were harmed by Japanese nuclear activity in the country where 200,000 or more civilians died from American atomic bombs?
That's a really interesting question. I haven't seen that much backlash from Japan. You know, I mean, Japan has had quite there are Japanese people themselves who are suing TEPCO or pursuing action against TEPCO in a much more muted way. Where I have seen backlash is in the among other sailors, other members of the military, and onlookers who sort of have made accusations against the sailors who have joined the suit. And some of the people I spoke to didn't want to go on the record because they were afraid of the backlash. They said that they had on their blogs and the Facebook and stuff that they had already received backlash from people that they had served with who said that they were being greedy. So there are some people, there are some people who are angered by this lawsuit who believe that the sailors have no business bringing it.
You interviewed a Navy information technologist, James Jackson. What's happened to him?
James Jackson was actually based in Japan, had been serving in Japan, and he at the time of the disaster, and he took part in operation in the relief effort. But his big concern, and the reason he joined the lawsuit, is after he returned to the U.S., he's still in the U.S. Navy, still serving as an information technologist. After he returned to the U.S., his son, his eldest child, who was with him in Japan, was later diagnosed with leukemia and came close to death about a year and a half ago when the diagnosis was made. I mean, they were told he was within a whisker of losing him.
Well, he was 150 miles south of Fukushima, and even if Darius Jackson, the son, was exposed to radiation from Fukushima, can leukemia develop so quickly afterwards?
The medical consensus is that it was the cancers here were that are named in the suit have become evident too early.
For decades, the U.S. government concealed evidence about the exposure of Americans to radioactivity from nuclear tests in the 50s and 60s. Is there any evidence of U.S. government collusion with the Japanese government or corporate officials now?
You know, what I find very interesting is that people like Mr. Jackson and the others who have brought this suit do not hold the Navy responsible. You have to remember that these are nuclear-powered vessels, the aircraft carriers. And so that there is a culture of nuclear safety within the Navy. And James Jackson and the others remain convinced that the Navy itself would do anything within its power to keep its people safe. So they don't think that there's a cover-up.
The United States Radiation Exposure Compensation Act of 1990 entitles people downwind of leaks to receive between $50,000 and $100,000 if they can demonstrate a causal connection between their cancer and radiation exposure. That would come to about $11 million for 110 people. But how did the Americans come up with $1 billion in this case?
Well, they say that they still don't know who could be affected down the road, right? There were 77,000 people. That this is a suit on, not just on behalf of, you know, the people who have joined so far, but potentially on behalf of the tens and thousands of other U.S. sailors and Marines who were in Japan. They want this money to be set aside as a medical fund.
If the Americans
and a long-term fund for monitoring their overall health care and, if necessary, for providing treatment.
If they win, how much of the $1 billion would go to the lawyers? Because some people have suggested that the 110 Americans in this lawsuit are really just victims of American ambulance chasers.
Well, I didn't read the retainer agreement that they signed with their attorneys, but I mean, I think typically in these cases, lawyers get about 40%.
One lawyer for the Americans, Charles Bonner, calls TEPCO a multi-trillion-dollar company. Is that true? I know it's a multi-trillion yen company, but there's a lot of yens to the dollar.
There are a lot of yens to the dollar. I don't know if it's a multi-billion dollar company, certainly. It's a huge company, and it's a very rich target, as are obviously General Electric and Toshiba, which they're seeking to add to this suit.
The website for Bonner's law firm lists personal injury as one of its leading practice areas. I don't know if they've been running ads in the New York City subway system, but it sounds like they are seeing a real opportunity to make some money here. On the other hand, it is possible that these people have been affected, because some of us are more vulnerable to things like radiation sickness than others.
Well, radiation sickness is something that happens immediately at the time of exposure. You know, the acute radiation poisoning and the symptoms that come with that. So they're not going to be coming down with that, you know, weeks and months down the road, or months or years down the road, as some have alleged. That is true. We still really, you know, there's still much that remains unknown about the long-term effects of radiation exposure. And there's much that remains unknown about what exactly happened, how much radiation leaked at the time of Fukushima. And, of course, there's still very much that we don't know about the safety procedures and the decisions about safety that were made, you know, when Fukushima was being built and afterwards. So you can't entirely dismiss the claims that are now being put out there. It will be very interesting to see how the courts deal with this. Indeed, if they decide to deal with it at all, you know, TEPCO is going to do its best to get this case dismissed to make sure that these sailors don't get a hearing at all.
What impact has this disaster had on thinking about nuclear power worldwide?
It's had a really big impact. I mean, you've got to remember that at the time of the Fukushima meltdown in 2011, about 30% of Japan's power was provided by nuclear reactors like this one. Well, they were all shut down, and many of them, there was a time, I think, last year, where not a single nuclear reactor was operating in Japan. And, you know, so the country has had to import a lot of fossil fuels to meet its energy needs. And TEPCO has been fighting gradually to get, you know, its reactors back online. So there was an immediate effect in Japan. There was an effect in Germany, which decided, I think, immediately shut down about 8 of its reactors and then decided that they were going to shut down all of the reactors. I think they have about 22. And they were going to shut down all of them by about 2016. And countries like Switzerland and Sweden also began to sort of say, look, no more nuclear reactors for us. And for countries that were already opposed to nuclear power, such as Norway, you know, they all this sort of reaffirmed their belief that and their conviction that they should not have nuclear power.
What about American power companies with nuclear power plants? Are they taking an interest in the suit against TEPCO? Or?
Absolutely. You have to remember that the reactors in TEPCO were American-made, and they are in use in Japan. They are in use in the United States. So that there has been a series of reviews of reactor safety in this country. And especially, you know, and they'd be looking at, you know, provisions for ensuring that something like that could never happen here. That's obviously a special concern in California, which, you know, is an earthquake-prone zone and is on the coast. And there was something, again, that, you know, happened very, very recently. I think just the Associated Press found a report that showed that, you know, a government nuclear expert was urging the shutdown of the last nuclear plant in California because it's not clear that the facility would be able to withstand a powerful earthquake.
Japan has relied on nuclear energy because it doesn't have resources in oil and coal. But what about some of the other options? Have they invested at all in solar or wind?
I'm not quite sure what has happened in terms of, you know, what Japan has tried to do with renewables. I mean, that was obviously its sort of climate change targets had to be abandoned early on because they just had to go with fossil fuels. I don't think that there's highly developed solar from memory. For Germany, of course, you saw a big ramping up of their project to move towards solar, and solar has been very important in Germany, as has wind to a lesser degree.
Suzanne, we have very little time, but in this country, one of the arguments is against storage. That has been seen as a big problem. How has Japan been storing its nuclear waste?
I can't say for all of it. I just don't know what it's been doing in terms of keeping them on site. I mean, at Fukushima, for example, two or three of the six reactors actually just contained spent fuel. They weren't operating. They were essentially storage sites.
Suzanne Goldenberg's article in The Guardian is U.S. Sailors Prepare for Fresh Legal Challenge Over Fukushima Radiation. And there's also a similar article in Mother Jones magazine. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you so much for having me.